Well, 2 Samuel chapter 3, just a few words in verse 33. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 33. And the king lamented over Abner and said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth." Let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we turn to consider the biography of this great man, O Lord, we pray that thou would teach us lessons from it. We thank thee it's recorded in Scripture to be an example to us, to be an illustration. And O Lord, guide us, we pray, in our deliberations in Jesus' name. Amen. When great men die like fools, when great men die like fools. We read here of a funeral service. And the man who's been buried is called by the King David, you heard me reading it, a great man and a prince. In other words, an important leader is the meaning of the word. A great man, a great leader in the nation. And all the kingdom were told to weep. David said he wouldn't eat any food until the sun went down, out of respect for the memory of this great man. And in fact, for much of his life, he had been an enemy of King David, and only very lately had come over to his side. But David called him a great man and a prince in Israel. And he lamented and he wept, and the people wept. And yet, as he gives his eulogy about this great man, he has to say a very strange thing that you don't often hear said at a funeral. Abner died as a fool dieth. There's a verse in the book of Job that says great men are not always wise. And that's very true. The great men have risen to the very top of the rung of the ladder as regards economics, as regards political power, in many different fields of life. And we say, my, they're very great. They have great wisdom. They have great ability. They have great skill. They're high up there. They deserve the accolade of being called a great person, great man, great woman. And the Bible refers to this man as being great. And yet, they can act very foolishly and unwisely. There have been many in history called great. You think of Herod the Great. You think of Russia that had a leader called Catherine the Great. Now, we know that Herod died like a fool. In the New Testament, Herod the Great died opposing the Savior. Remember, he tried to put him to death and put other children to death. Oh, what a foolish man. What a foolish man. Wise men are not always great. Or sorry, great men are not always wise. They don't always make the right decisions. And remember why we're taking these stories. Because the whole Bible is about Christ. Don't ever think that it's only the Gospels are about the Lord Jesus Christ. Right from Genesis to Revelation, there's only one theme, Jesus Christ. The Old Testament says he's coming. And in the Old Testament, there's story after story after story, historically true, but yet there are lessons in them that point forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this story is no exception. There are lessons here about the nature of salvation. There are lessons here about the importance of trusting Christ as your Savior. Very, very important lessons in this passage. A wonderful illustration of the gospel. We thought this morning of who hath believed our report. And Isaiah the prophet wept because he preached a message and yet people didn't listen. Paul was the same. The Lord Jesus Christ quoted that verse when thousands left his preaching. Who have believed our report? Christians are in the minority. Here's a man, Abner, who heard a report. He actually believed it intellectually, but he didn't obey the report, as we'll see. Some quick things about him. I want you to think, first of all, about his fearful danger. His fearful danger. You have to go back to chapter 2 for that. We're going back some time, and there was a battle. There was a battle taking place, and verse 17 of chapter 2, there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten. and the men of Israel before the servants of David. Abner was on the opposing side. Abner was against David. Abner was leading those who had been loyal to King Saul, the northern tribes. He was a great general in the opposition. There was civil war taking place. That's what it was. Civil war. David had come to the throne, but there were still those who were loyal to King Saul, wouldn't recognize David. Well, then what happened in verse 18? There were three sons there of Zeruiah, Joab, Abishai, and Aziel. Aziel was as light of foot as a wild roe. He could run like a deer. He was a young man. If he was alive today, he probably would have been in the Olympics, 100 meters, or the sprint. He was a fast runner. And Aziel pursued after Abner. And in going, he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked back behind him and said, "Art thou Aziel?" He answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside." In other words, don't follow me. Lay thee hold on one of the young men and take thee his armor. But Aziel would not turn aside from him. In verse 22, Abner again says, "Turn aside. Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother?" However, Aziel refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hinder part of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear come out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. He died. But when verse 24, Joab and Abishai, Aziel's brothers, pursued after Abner. Can you see what's happening? Let me just quickly, it's self-explanatory, but let me just reinforce it. Abner is a general, the commander of the army, and they're in retreat. And this young man is fast of foot. Abner's at least middle-aged. And he keeps saying, "Look, you've won the battle. It's over. Don't keep following me. Go after somebody else. Don't keep following me." But Aziel kept following, and finally, in a sort of a self-defense act, he took a spear and he thrust it behind him like this, and it caught Aziel, and he died. And his two older brothers then went after Abner. Joab, who was the commander of David's army. But I'm not going to read in the rest of the chapter. What you'll find is Abner went on a hill, and the armies of the two armies are there, the beaten arm and the others, and he said, in effect, I'm paraphrasing, "It's all over. We're beaten. David is the rightful king. We surrender. I recognize David as the rightful king." And the civil war was stopped. The civil war was stopped. Now what happens in chapter 3? I'm just summarizing it quickly. Abner goes to meet King David. And he meets David and pledges allegiance. "David, you're the king. I recognize you as king." And David wanted to unite the people. David wanted the civil war to stop. And so he meets Abner. He says, "It's over. You can serve me now. You can serve in my army." The bitterness, the killing, it's over. It's over. But when Joab hears that, Joab's out for revenge. Joab's out for revenge. Now, I have to give a little bit of history here. This, of course, was long, long ago in Israel. There was no PSNI in the detectives in those days. There's none like that. I was just thinking last week, you know, and this comes into my mind. I was sitting in there last week when we were having the tea, and I sat down and I just noticed I was sitting in the middle of three former policemen. I said, "Oh dear, I must have done something wrong." And then I got up and I went over to another table and there were three others. I said, "Boy, I hope my conscience is clear, honestly." No, I'm only joking with them. It just suddenly struck me. But anyway, there was no detective, there was no proper court and law the way we have today. And what they had in those days, if your brother had been killed, the oldest became what's known as, and this is over in the Old Testament, the Avenger of Blood. The Avenger of Blood. And they would go to get payback, to deal with the person who had killed them. So Joab is an avenger of blood. You say, but it was almost self-defense. Abner tried to tell the man to turn aside. It wasn't a war. That's right. But Joab was out to kill Abner. In other words, he's in danger of death. The fearful danger in which Joab was. But then let's get to our text then. In chapter 3, his foolish death, in verse 33, died Abner as a fool dieth. Why is he called a fool? Why is David heartbroken? Why is he heartbroken? That's the point. Well, go back to verse 27. When Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. Now, with a quick reading, you may miss the significance. Here's why he had a foolish death. Hebron. Underline the name of the town. Hebron. In the gate of the city of Hebron. Now some of you may know about this, but I'll turn back and read a few verses from the book of Joshua, chapter 20. I'm doing a bit of turning to different passages this evening, but to explain it. We could go to Deuteronomy as well, of course, because when Moses talked about these cities, but in the book of Joshua, chapter 20. Book of Joshua, chapter 20. Let me read you what it says. Remember, there wasn't the same law system as there would be later on. And in chapter 20, speak to the children of Israel, chapter 20 of Joshua, verse 2. Appoint out you cities of refuge. Cities of refuge. Verse 3. That the slayer that killeth any person, listen, unawares, it wasn't deliberate, cold-blooded, intentional murder. And the person that was guilty of that, unwittingly, may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And it goes on to say how the city fathers were to take that person in. In verse 5, if the avenger of blood pursue after him, they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand. Not do it. Now in verse 7, and they appointed Kedesh in Galilee. And you see the names of these cities. But look at the one I'm after, Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. There were six cities of refuge provided. And if a man hadn't intended to kill, he hadn't set out with cold-blooded, intentional homicide in his mind, what would happen when he knew the avenger of blood? He would flee to one of these six cities. And they're appointed, if you know a map of Israel, Jordan in the middle, 1, 2, 3, one at the top, one in the middle, one on the bottom, the other side, one at the top, one in the middle, one on the bottom. They were set on hills so you couldn't miss them. They had to keep the roads absolutely clear so a man could run quickly. So if a man without intention, if intention then that was murder, he would run to that city, he would run in the gate, I'm safe. And the avenger blood would be after him. But when he got to this, that said, I can't go in. He's safe as long as he stays in that city. He's safe. That's the meaning of the cities of refuge. That happened in the Old Testament at that period of history. You say, well, what's that got to do with us today? Well, Abner should have been safe. He should have been safe in that city, but he didn't. He came out to the gate. That's the point. He came out. He should have stayed in the city. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is our city of refuge. So, what do you mean? But the Bible tells us the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Do you know if at time I turn you over to the book of Hebrews chapter 6, where it speaks of those, that's those who trust Christ, they have fled to Christ for refuge. And the writer in the book of Hebrews, he's obviously referring back to the Old Testament story that every Jewish person would know at that period of their history. And he's saying, just as a man to escape the avenger of blood would run into one of those six cities, we have run to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our safety. He is our salvation. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. He is our protection. And we can hide in him. We can hide in him. So back to the story. Why does David call Abner a fool? Because Abner was right at the gate of the city. In fact, he had been in the city talking to David. But Joab got him to come out. The safety was right before him. Why did he have to die? He just could have stepped inside the city, right at the doorway. Abner knew about the city of refuge. He was an Israelite. He knew that inside the city he would be safe, that Joab couldn't touch him. He knew he'd be safe. But yet he came out. How foolish. David says he died as a fool dieth. What's the lesson? It's obvious. Many know the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. There's no other way, but they don't enter in. They don't enter in. I want you to think of a third thing as I thought about this story. Not only there the danger he was in, the fearful danger, his foolish death, but his friendly, we'll call it this way, as you think about it, it was a friendly deceiver. No, there was a friendly deceiver, Joab. See, in verse 27, look at it again, what happened. When Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. Can you see Joab coming up with a smile on his face? Oh, Abner, come on out. Come on out of the city. I just want to chat with you. Can you not picture Abner going over and putting his arm around his shoulder? Ach, Abner, the past is the past. It's all over. It's good that you're in the army too. King David's made you one of the commanders. I'm the overall general, but it's good you're serving with us now. It's good to meet you. And he's his arm round him, and then he reaches down, and he takes his knife, and it goes. So friendly. So friendly. Joab the deceiver. That's why David, did you notice when I read it, publicly said before the whole nation, I am innocent of Abner's blood. Joab's guilty. Joab's guilty. I had nothing to do with Abner's murder. Joab's guilty. But Abner was taken in. Maybe he was flattered that Joab would talk to him. Certainly he was deceived. The friendly, I call him the friendly deceiver. The friendly deceiver. You see, Revelation chapter 12 and 9 says this, that Satan has deceived the whole world. Do you know 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, Paul is writing, remember Paul in the stage of his life was blinded to the loveliness of Christ. He went about persecuting Christians. He was one of those we thought about this morning, said there's no beauty about Christ that I should desire him. You mean a Messiah who went to a tree and was nailed to a Roman capital punishment? How could he be our Messiah? Our Messiah is going to be a great king who will rule and reign. He couldn't be the true Messiah. But one day the scales were lifted off Paul's eyes and he saw the truth. Well, what I'm saying is this. What I'm saying is this, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, Paul wrote, the God of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Deceived them, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is in the face of Jesus Christ, should shine in. The devil is a deceiver. The devil goes around, and of course people are not conscious that he's speaking, but in their minds they follow his teaching, just as it did with Eve. Eve, Did God really say you can't eat of this tree? God's holding something back from you. And remember, God had said you can eat of any tree in the garden, just one. He gave her a test, she and Adam. Just one. Every other tree. God's mean. That's really what the devil was saying to Eve. God's a mean God. He doesn't want you to have happiness. He's holding something back from you. He knows the day you'll eat, you'll be like God. And that's the way the devil still works. Is there not something about our human nature that we come to things like the Ten Commandments and you say, oh, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. When God says, thou shalt not, God is saying, don't hurt yourself. I love you so much, I'm giving you these commandments, and don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. And yet, humans think it's God holding something back from us. And Satan would say that somehow God is like a cosmic killjoy. He doesn't want you to have fun in life. And you know, there's many a person, and they hear the gospel and they think, oh, I can't get saved. I can't become a Christian. Because then I'll have no joy in life. I'll have to go around miserable. Do you know, if people actually believe that. I know you, those of you who know Christ as your Savior, you say, how can anybody believe that lie? But they do. Go to church. Follow Christ. Oh, are you doing that to try and earn heaven like a penance? They don't understand. But that's what Satan tells people. The devil's still a deceiver. His motive is murder. The Lord Jesus Christ said that himself in the Gospel of John. He said he's a murderer from the beginning. He wants to destroy people. And his method is the lie. He's a liar from the beginning. And Joab, what a picture of Satan he is in this story. What a picture of Satan. I call him the friendly deceiver. Because Joab came with a smile on his face, but with a knife in his hand. How like Satan, the destroyer. One last thing about this. Not only his fearful danger, not only his foolish death, but I want you to think about his final destiny. His final destiny. You see, here in verse 32 of the chapter, they buried Abner in Hebron. They buried him. Right in the place where he died, just at the gate. They buried him. And then in verse 33, the king lamented. See that? Lamented. And the people wept over him at the end of verse 34. There's tears. There's weeping. And David's weeping. And the people are weeping and they're crying. Abner. And David said, oh, he was a great man. He was a great leader. He's a prince. David said, the whole nation would have lost a great, great man. But you know, here's the point. Was Abner's final destiny. Because all the tears of David and the nation could not bring Abner back. No reruns. No recall. No going back again. He's gone. He's gone. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this the judgment. Oh, they could weep. They could weep. But it was no good. I think of the verse in Ecclesiastes 11:3 that says, as a in the place the tree falls, there shall it be. You think of a forest away in the depth of the jungle. A tree falls over, how's it going to get up again? It's there, it rots, it's there, it's gone. Nobody can restore it again. And God is saying, that's it, when you die, that's it. And Abner's destiny was sealed. And it's a warning to us today. This story is a warning. Last time we thought of a character not well known, Ittai. And we thought about how we ought to stand as good soldiers of Christ. But this passage is a warning. It's a warning that he died a foolish death even though he was great. It's a warning to enter Christ while you have time. To come to the Lord, not to delay, not to leave it too late. and it's lost. Yes, crying after the time, but crying will not bring them back. I love to read as a man. I know some of you here and some in the church have heard him. He would have been on the television and so on. A lot of respect for him. I've read his life story and different things by him. The late Adrian Rogers, great Southern Baptist preacher. And in one of his writings, he tells when he was in a smaller church, he went to a very, very large Southern Baptist church. I consider him a wonderful preacher, gone to be with the Lord. But when he was in his younger ministry, he was in a small town down in Florida. And he tells a story where he said on one occasion, there's a member of his church called and she was weeping and weeping and wailing and crying. He said, Pastor Rogers, or Brother Rogers, you call him, it's terrible. My father's died and he's lost. He had no profession. He's not saved, he's lost, he's in hell. What am I going to do? And she was weeping and weeping tears. He said, by her name, did you ever talk to him about the Saviour? Did you ever speak to him about the love of Christ and coming to this world and dying on Calvary to be the Saviour from our sins? Did you ever urge him to trust Christ? No, Pastor, I didn't. You know what he said to her? Well, your father's not in hell because a few days ago I went past the house and talked to him and he told me he wanted to trust Christ and I led him to the Lord. Then he said, you may think it's a very stern thing for a pastor. He said, no thanks to you. He told me you never spoke to him. You never spoke to him. Well, Adrian Rogers, when he's writing about that, told about how we ought to be concerned, as we thought this morning. To speak before it's too late. Before it's too late. You see, Abner died as a fool. Abner died as a fool. Look at that quickly, just as I finish in verse 27 again. Let me reinforce it. He took him aside in the gate. In the gate. Think of it, in the gate. There's the gate of the city. If only he had taken a step, he would have been inside the safety. All he had to do was step inside the gate. Joab couldn't touch him. Or he would have been put to death for murder. All he had to do was a step. Don't we often sing with the children, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two, inside and outside, and which side are you? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament said, I am the gateway, I am the door. John 10:9, he said, I am the way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the door to heaven. We can know about the door, we could talk about the door, we could believe he is the door to heaven, he is the door to eternal life. But you see, Abner was right at the door. He was close to salvation. And there's many a person that's close to receiving Christ, knows they ought to trust Christ, but they never take that step and enter into Christ. The salvation faith is a matter of the mind. We need to know Christ as the only Savior. It's a matter of the emotions. We ought to love him and desire to enter in. Ah, but it's a matter of the will. We have to trust him. But this man never went in. Never went in. That's the sad thing. He died at the very gate. Yesterday morning, I'm not often in Newton Ards on a Saturday morning. Was the traffic's terrible, especially with these roadworks. But I was in and would park the car and I walked round the market for a bit. And in the distance, I saw a friend. I haven't seen him for quite a few weeks. I know Worth knows him well. Tommy Wright. Know him, Belfast. He goes to Albus Cross congregation. I saw he and his wife in the distance, but I didn't go over and speak to him because I was afraid of the traffic warden. And I said to John, we better rush quick and get back. So I saw him in the distance. And I went back to the house. I had his number on my mobile. And I called him when I got home. I said to him, Tommy, I hope you and your wife aren't buying too much in the market. He said, how do you know I'm down? I said, because I saw you, but I'm sorry I didn't have time to speak because my car wanted to get back. I said, you're welcome to come up and visit. But he said he was in a hurry. They were going off. And it brought back to mind. Number of years ago, might be 20, I'm not sure, I was visiting a man in the hospital. I didn't know him very well, but I was visiting this man in hospital. Now, he had an oxygen mask, He was very weak and thin. He'd been ill for quite a while. I know it gets called farmer's lung. I'm not sure the right title for it. But he could hardly speak. He said to me, "Ron," and he mentioned the man I saw yesterday. He says, "Tommy's a real Christian, isn't he?" I said, "What do you mean?" I knew what he meant. He said, "He's saved, isn't he?" I said, "He is." And then it gave me an opportunity. "What about you?" Now, I can't get this out of my mind. Saw that man yesterday, thinking of this story. He could hardly talk with the oxygen mask. Gasping for breath. Critically ill. "Ron, I know I need to be. I live with my two sisters now. They go to the Brethren Assembly and they're both saved." Putting the oxygen on that. "I know I need to be saved." "Ron, maybe someday. Maybe someday." How could you believe that? Tried to urge him to come. I don't know. God is the judge. Think of John Morrow. Sometimes comes here and speaks for years. He's an evangelist. Maybe you've heard him tell the story about the man way up in his late 90s. Spoke to him at the door about his son. "Maybe someday, son. Someday I'll think about it." In his late 90s. Died Abner as a fool dieth. He was right at the gate. He knew it was only a step. But he didn't go in. He didn't go in. Oh, wouldn't it be terrible if someone here made that same mistake? How terrible. How terrible. And Abner went out into eternity. Died as a fool. I think today, I've spoken on her before, so I didn't take a meeting tonight. Edith Cavale, 100 years ago, that brave nurse. She was a great lady. My late mother often told me how as a teenager in Sandy Row, she had Edith Cavale on the wall of her bedroom. You see, 100 years ago this week, she was led out and executed by the Germans, charged with treason. She treated German and British soldiers in Belgium, but she helped many, many British soldiers escape. And when she was led out to be executed, she made the famous statement, "I know that patriotism is not enough. And I die knowing that I'm trusting Christ, and I'll be with him in heaven." She died wise unto salvation. May God teach us this warning of Abner.